This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com. So what I started to think about was kind of, you know, you begin to think about Thanksgiving and it's like, oh, it's that time of year again, time to think about being thankful. What kind of things are we thankful for? At least that's how I thought of it. And I have to kind of back up a few steps because have you ever, when God teaches you something, you kind of pull into it experiences and things that God has taught you from before. At least that's how he usually speaks to me. It's experiences or people or things that have happened before that God points out in my life, and he says, remember this, well, I'll have a question about something, and God will bring this back to my mind. And I was thinking about thankfulness, I was thinking about gratitude specifically, and there were people that I knew, I can think of a couple, and I'll give you a couple examples. There was Pastor Alex has talked about this, there's an elderly gentleman by the name of Ralph Thornhill, and he was a man, that's the first time I remember sitting listening to somebody pray, and I was like, whoa, this is so different than anything I've experienced before. This man, you can tell he lives with Christ. He's just all into it. And it wasn't just fervent or passionate. There was actually power there. It wasn't just charisma. You know, you can see people on TV or you can talk to people. It's like, wow, they know how to talk well or they know how to explain things well, which is good. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a difference. He wasn't a particularly eloquent man, but he had power. And there was something about him, the thing that kept coming through my mind is that he was so alive. He was so alive. There was something about him that just exuded life. And I don't know what, that was all I could think of in my mind to think of. And then I was praying and thinking about him. And then there's another man. His name was Mark Skillen. And he was a younger man. He was probably, I think at the time I knew him, maybe in his late 40s, I think. He had been in the Navy. And he kind of exuded kind of that same life and vigor and vitality. And he was younger. I was like, well, that kind of makes sense. He was young. He was athletic. He just kind of, everything about him was energetic. But I was like, there's something different about him. And I thought they shared something there. And it dawned on me, every time you would listen to Ralph pray and every time I would talk to Mark, they would always talk about what it was God had done for them. They were obsessing about it. It was like a one-track mind for them. There was always in the forefront of their mind remembering or telling somebody about something that God had done in their life. Whether it was recently or whether it was their salvation or whether it was something that happened a month ago. But just that was their preoccupation. And, you know, if it was anybody else, if you ask me, you know when you're kids and you're going on a long car trip, you have to play games to keep yourself from going too crazy. I'm sure parents invent some of these games to keep you from going too crazy. I remember one game I played as a kid in the car when we would go for our long drives. My parents thought it was a nice afternoon drive. It was like an 8-hour drive up into Canada and back again from Rhode Island. It was, seriously, we would take trips up to Quebec and back and just because my dad liked to drive. So I had to find things to do because I get car sick about after hour one. I couldn't read anymore, so I get sick. And so we would play games. And one of the things we would do is called association or something like that. So somebody would start it off and they'd say a word, any word, the first word that popped into their head. So maybe, if we were playing it here tonight, maybe Elaine would start and she'd say coffee. I was next. So I'd have to say something. So I might say the first thing that came into my head when she said coffee, I had to say something instantly. You had like 2 seconds. You had to respond immediately. Couldn't filter it. You just had to say what it was. So she said coffee. I said donut. Shocker, I know, right? Then Becky says, I say donut. She says frosting. Alex says cake. And Betsy says France. And it comes back to me again. I say donut. And then it comes back around. And then it goes over to Todd. And he says, you know, French fries. And it comes back around. I say donut. And that's kind of like what these people were like. It was like, no matter what you said, the first thing that came to Ralph and Mark's mind was, what God has done for me. That's all I can think about. For me, you know, we all joke about me with donuts. But think about that type of a thing in a sanctified way, where that was when the first thing that comes to your mind instinctually is a sense of gratitude. That was, and that's what it kind of like dawned on me. I was like, wow, this actually has to do with Thanksgiving. God is really working this out. And so I thought, well, maybe that's the common thread. I wonder. So I started thinking about it. I started praying about it. And then Pastor Alex said, hey, you want to talk about something on Wednesday night? And I said, oh, sure, I'll try to put this down. And so that was going on beforehand. And so I want to try to lay it out for you as best as I can, why it is that we should so strive to cultivate a spirit of gratitude in our hearts, thus the fruit of a thankful heart. Why is it so important? What things can we expect to yield? What kind of fruits will we yield from having a thankful heart? And why is it so important? So the first thing that I have to kind of point out is this shift, right? The shift of gratitude. There's a fundamental paradigm shift when there is a spirit of gratitude in your heart. The first thing is your eyes go off of you. All of a sudden, you could call this, I think of it as focus or vision, but your sight is somewhere else. It's not inward. It's not even at others beside you. It's at that source, right? Everybody, you must absolutely take your eyes off of yourself to be thankful unless you're thanking yourself, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But think about it. Before any of us could have experienced salvation, that's the necessary prerequisite. We had to have taken our eyes off of ourselves to look and see Christ on the cross. We can't ever get to the cross. We can't ever get to Christ unless our eyes are off of ourselves. So it only stands to reason that it's paramount that we don't, after we see Christ on the cross, that we don't go, okay, now back here again. This is not where our eyes belong. They don't stay there. It wasn't good for us at salvation. It's not good for us in sanctification. And it won't be anything for us in glorification. There's nothing introspective about heaven. Nothing. It's all about Christ. It's all about what He's doing. It's all about those things. It's all Him and what God has done for us. The only way that that comes in is what God has touched into our life. So, I have to share with you a funny quote right now. So as we were leaving, we were in a rush, running out the door, and we were saying, did you remember your phone? Did you remember your phone? I don't know. I didn't remember my phone. Nobody remembered their phone. Comes out, I did remember my phone. It was in my pocket. I didn't feel it. And my little son's voice comes from the back. It says, haste makes waste. As we're driving down the road, I was like, this is true. I was going to read to you a quote, haste makes waste. I forgot to bring my book with me to read you a quote, but I'm going to paraphrase it for you. You put me in front of somebody, a group of people, and I have an opportunity to quote G.K. Chesterton, and I will. My wife will always. I'm going to share with you something because there is something very important about the very nature of our eyes going off of ourselves. That, in its purest form, is called humility. That's what humility is. Humbleness, the spirit of humbleness, is having our eyes first and foremost looking up to Christ, not at ourselves, not for ourselves for deliverance, not to anything else. And there's a very prevalent idea in the world right now about what humility looks like or what it should be like. You'll hear Christians in churches, pastors sometimes, saying to you, well, you know, you shouldn't be proud and say that you think you know, better than somebody else. You know, you should be humble and recognize that you're probably wrong. And I couldn't have put it any better. So I want to address that because we're talking about humility. I'm going to be holding this up as one of the primary virtues that we as Christians can have is humility. Because God says in His Bible that that's the key for God shedding His grace on us, right? He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. We need His grace. So if we're going to pursue God and actually succeed in this, we need His grace. And if we have a spirit of pride rather than humility, we can't really hope for success in this. But the explanation that Mr. Chesterton provides, he said there's a strange sort of, I'm going to paraphrase it, so please forgive me if I get it wrong. But basically his point is this. In our day and age, there is a type of humility. We say that there's pride rampant everywhere. He says, but there's really not. There is a type of humility that is common and you can find it everywhere. He said, because you have people that they're so humble that they're willing to doubt the truth rather than to doubt themselves. It has settled on the organ, he says, of conscience rather than on the organ of person. He said, in the old humility, you would have seen long ago, he said, would have said, I am failing. I may not be pure in heart. And that will drive you to try harder. But the other type of humility makes you doubtful about your goals. And therefore you stop trying altogether. Because you don't know whether you're really striving for something worthwhile. So that's important. It's not, the humility of Christ is not to say, I don't know what the truth is. Because we know what the truth is in Christ. The humility of Christ says, I have failed to reach the truth. So it's important that we keep that separate when we go forward. I just wanted to mention that because I know when I've talked to people, people get very, I've encountered people who have told me, you shouldn't be so proud and say that, you know, that this is what the Lord says. And there's probably enough pride in my life to say that there's other reasons for them to tell me that. But it's not because I said that what was true that I'm proud. It's because of other things. So I want to read to you just something. So how does our focus really help our daily lives? Because that's the main thing. When gratitude rests in the heart, there must be an object of that thankfulness. We have to be thankful to someone. We all know that, right? There's got to be some person we're thankful to. We thank the Lord for these things. The process is really inevitable. There are a few things that will soften and open your heart to God like thankfulness. This is really amazing if you think about it. Thankfulness ends up strengthening faith and thereby growing in true power and vigor. When you think about it, when thankfulness kind of oozes through you and all across you, you see what it is that God has done for you, and you know what it is that He has done. And that reminds you of what God has done for you and what He will do in the future. It builds on those things a strength that is really not of yourself because it's flowing from the power, person of Christ. You have a thankfulness rooted in Him. With our eyes squarely fixed on Jesus, we cannot help but think of what He will do next and to live in the light of that every day. When Christ gives us something that He has done in the past, when in the Old Testament we see these markers erected to say, remember these things and give thanks. Remember that? You know, when they crossed over the Jordan River, He said, build this thing so when your sons ask you, you know, what is this thing? You can tell them about it so you can remember these things. Why is that important? Well, because we all have lives to live, and we all have things that are going to face us. We all have Jordan rivers that we have to cross. And the Lord needs us to remember what He has done in the past to know that He will do that again for us, that that is who Christ is. Now, granted, there may be perhaps someone who might say that by having our eyes focused on something far off, that we will be less engaged in the here and now, less mindful of what is right in front of us. So I want to try something here. I want to show you something. And this is something that somebody taught me or showed me a long time ago. It's kind of a funny thing. Let's see if I can get this to you. I want to read this scripture too. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts towards God. All of that begins with thankfulness in your heart. If you think about it, all of these things, the undergirding this is that your heart is filled with the spirit of thankfulness. The spirit of thankfulness is the one thing that will open our hearts to Christ like nothing else really can. There's few things that soften the touch of the hard heart like a spirit of gratitude. When you're grateful for somebody, if somebody comes over and your car is broken down and they help you, you have a softness towards that person. There are people that I know who have been gracious and kind to me, and I cannot help but feel a tenderness toward them because of what they have done and because of their kindness toward me. I can't help it. That's natural. That's normal. But sometimes life doesn't always make a lot of sense in that respect. Sometimes things are really kind of look like a jumbled mess. We've talked about that tonight. There's a lot of people right now, we don't know what the Lord is doing in our country. We don't know what's going on. What the Lord is going to take of it. And sometimes life can look like a big mess. It doesn't make sense when we look at it. To illustrate what I want to show you about what thankfulness can do in the light of that type of vision, that type of sight, of seeing something like that, I want to show you something that looks kind of weird. Have you guys ever seen one of these before? Okay, so it's called like an auto stereograph or something. Basically, it's an optical illusion. And I don't think you can really do it with this type of a screen. But in a nutshell, what it does is, the first time I saw one of these things, I must have been 16, I think maybe 15. And we were going through, there's a Swansea, the city of Swansea in Massachusetts near our house. And there was a mall, and they had these pictures hanging. I was like, what in the world is that? And somebody I knew was getting a picture to give to somebody as a gift. And I said, that's really kind of a weird looking picture. What is it? It just seems kind of random. It doesn't really seem to have, I mean, I guess there's kind of a pattern to it, but it doesn't seem to have a point. So what is it for? And they said, oh, it's an optical illusion. I was like, oh, okay, well, how do you see it? What is it? And, you know, I sit there, and of course, it's always, you see the, back then you go along in the mall, and there'd be just people like standing at this kiosk, just staring at this thing, waiting for this picture. Because they said, well, if you stare at it, a picture will pop out, and you'll see a picture. There's something will come out of the pattern. Like, oh, okay. So stand there for a while, and you're just waiting and waiting. You feel like that sometimes with life, you're just sitting there waiting for life to make sense. And then somebody came up, he said, no, you're doing it wrong. He said, first you got to get real close. He said, then back away. He said, then you got to look past it. I said, what do you mean look past it? How can you look past it? It's like focus your eyes like you're looking on something on the other side of it, like something behind the picture. I said, oh, okay, I'll try that. I don't know how you even do that. He said, well, if it has a glass front, you can look at the reflection. If there's a reflection, you can look beyond at the reflection and your eyes will focus past it. And I was like, holy cow, there's a picture there. It just popped right out. But the moment your eyes adjusted focus to fix on the picture, it would disappear. It was a very weird feeling. It's like when you see something in your peripheral vision. When you go to look, it's not there. But when you come back, you can see it. There was something there about the way your eyes were focused that allowed you to see this picture. I couldn't get an example. I don't even know what that optical illusion is. All I could find was that. I couldn't see, like, find where they had, like, what is on the other side. Remember the one, it was a sunken ship with, like, a shark swimming over it. I remember thinking, that is so crazy. And as I was sitting here thinking about this tonight, I thought, that was actually the first thing that came to my mind. That's what thankfulness is. People think of things as far as sight. They think of in terms of near or far. But as a Christian, thankfulness vision, the eyes of a thankful heart, it's not so much about far or near. It's about shallow or deep. It's about depth. And I realized that when you have in your spirit a sense of gratitude toward the Lord will open up things to you. And you will, the picture is what the picture is. It doesn't change what it is. It doesn't make it magically something different. It doesn't change your circumstances. By being thankful, it doesn't make your circumstances better automatically. It's just not going to. But you will see the pattern behind it. And you will see the meaning behind it. And as long as your eyes are fixed on that thing behind the surface, on Christ, on the object of your thankfulness, you will have that vision before you. And that vision, though, is important. It's just not just a good feeling, because that vision builds hope. How can you not see? It was so exhilarating. I remember seeing the picture. I was like, oh, there's a thing there. There's something there. I see it. I see what it is. I see the purpose. Haven't we done that and seen in the Lord when He's opened our eyes? I see why this is happening. When the Lord has done that, He gives us courage. And He gives us power to do what we must do in spite of the apparent meaninglessness of random squiggles, that there is a pattern and there is a meaning behind it. I don't think that I'm drawing these conclusions because I thought of them and they're so smart. I think God makes these things. I think God makes people's bodies and minds and all of the physical world exists to illustrate a spiritual point. God created it and crafted it so that we would find these things, so that it would point us to Him. When we have that vision of beauty before us, we can't help but live differently in the light of it. It fills you with joy. There's a sense in which that circular process of giving thanks, seeing what it is God is doing because He reveals it, because your eyes are focused on the things past there, that in turn yields you a vision of beauty, which in turn gives you joy, which we know what the Bible says about joy, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that is where the scriptures say He goes from strength unto strength. So why am I saying all this? Is it saying it because I think this is the greatest thing and I think I figured it all out? No. I'm saying because I feel, I am very guilty of not cultivating a spirit of gratefulness, but by God's grace from this Thanksgiving going forward, I want to purposefully pray and ask for God to cultivate a spirit of thankfulness. In the old prayers they used to pray, they would say, you know, for this, make us truly thankful for what we are about to receive. You know, you hear those sometimes, those rote prayers. There's something to that. They touched on something there. Make us thankful for what we are about to receive. Remember that we should be thankful for these things, not just ourselves by force of effort, but by pleading for the Holy Spirit to give us a spirit of thankfulness and of gratitude to see the things that we should be thankful for and to be mindful of it. So I want to just, I'll part with this and just say this, that Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. That in all of these things, we might be more than conquerors." That's the hope, that's the goal, is to live a victorious life with Christ here and then to be with Him, that we might someday see Him face to face. And obviously, all of this presupposes that we have that relationship with Christ. All of that presupposes this. Because that's what you're thankful for, right? Is what Christ has done. So in closing, I will just say this. Humility, tenderness, faith, hope, joy, and strength are all fruits of a thankful heart. That all comes from one thing, from one seed. The seed and discipline of thankfulness and gratitude yields all of those fruits. So it's worth cultivating. I know for me, it's going to be rocky ground of tilling it up and soaking it and praying and asking God to grow it in my own heart, a spirit of gratefulness and of gratitude. But it's something that the Lord showed to me, and that's why I wanted to share it with you all tonight, because I love you guys, and I hope that the Lord blesses you and that the Lord causes you to grow in strength and that the Lord gives you peace in the light of a very messed up world. That the Lord will keep us and preserve us until we see Him. And things will all make sense, and that veil will be removed. So with that, let's close in a word of prayer. I didn't bring my bulletin. Is there anything else, Alex, on the bulletin? I didn't bring it down with me. Okay. All right. Well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for what You have given to us tonight in the time that we've had to be together and to pray and to thank You. Lord, I thank You so much that we have these doors that are open in our church, that we can gather together. I thank You, Father, for Your long-suffering. Where would we be without that? Or where could we? What could we ever do? Lord, I just pray and ask that You would uphold us, that You would guard and protect the hearts and minds of each person that is here. I pray, Father, that You would anoint their hearts and their minds. I pray, Lord, that Your Spirit would rest upon them. I pray, Father, that You would plant the seed of gratitude in the heart of each one that is here tonight. I pray, Lord, that we would foster it and nourish it and weed the garden and water that seed so it might yield good fruit, Father, that it might give us the strength that we need for the living of these days, because we don't have the strength in ourselves. We need that strength, Father, from You. But we also know that we must tend to our hearts, that we must be mindful to and always walk circumspectly. Father, I just pray and ask that You would please be gracious to us tonight. Watch over us and bless us. Keep us, Father, for the days that are ahead. And we pray, Lord, that You would use us for Your glory and for Your kingdom's purpose until that day when You come and we will see You face to face. Please, Father, use this church to spread the good news of Jesus Christ and to build up the faith of the brother. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name.